You're listening to the Well Connected Twin Cities podcast, where you get to hear personal stories, practical tips, and meaningful conversation with health and wellness practitioners, all encouraging you to embrace choice in your journey toward well-being for an empowered future. Are you ready? Let's discover what's possible right here in our Twin Cities community.
While I am super grateful for the growing amount of support there are for those that are growing tiny humans and giving birth to tiny humans, and especially in that very precious fourth trimester stage, but I do wonder, where are the supports for that really precious development stage from birth to just a few years of life? And Amber Schirkenbach here in this episode talks all about all things development and where parents can really turn to get support if they notice their little one struggling to assimilate or adjust to their environments, or notice that there are sensory changes or delays in development that are impacting their day-to-day functioning. Amber not only shares that education and insight through her occupational therapy lens, but then teaches us how to use that accessible nature. Our backyard can be a huge area and option for us to develop and support those little ones. And she shares exactly how this works and what this can look like. It's a very, very interesting episode, especially if you're somebody like me, who I kind of understood OT, but didn't really understand all that OT can truly help us with, especially as parents or caregivers of tiny humans. All right, a few words from our sponsors before we dig in.
Before digging into the episode, I want to take a moment to tell you about Sequoia Health and their offer of direct primary care services. They're really challenging the traditional mold of healthcare. What is it? You can think of direct primary care like personalized, holistic medical care that's really customized to you. At Sequoia, Dr. Jessica provides this care for a monthly fee, cutting out the insurance middlemen, so you don't have insurance providers dictating what kind of care your provider can give you. Your providers can actually focus all of their energy on you and your concerns. And now, for a limited time, Dr. Jessica is even offering meet and greets to make sure that she's the right provider fit for you. So don't hesitate. Visit sequoiahealth.com to request a consultation. That's S-E-C-O-Y-A health.com. This episode is also brought to you by and by Jillian Lydell. Divorce is said to be the second most traumatic life event, only behind death of a loved one, and you don't need to walk through this one alone. Jillian Lydell specializes in working with women who are navigating the often painful, confusing path of divorce, but want it to culminate with a strength, a peace, and ultimately joy. Jillian helps you save time, money, and emotional stress during the divorce process. So when you're done with this chapter, you have no regrets, you believe in yourself, and you feel confident that you can cultivate the best new beginning of your life. She meets with her clients one-on-one anywhere in the world. Visit her website at cultivatingjoycoach.com for more information, or you can contact her at 763-639-1183. Jillian Lydell, cultivating joy in life's toughest chapters: trauma, loss, grief, and divorce.
I'm so excited to introduce you to Amber Schirkenbach. She is the owner and operator of Mama Earth, LLC, providing nature-based occupational therapy services and enrichment programs to children and their families from birth to 6 years old. She is a mama to a rainbow baby and has been with her partner since college. Amber is a registered and licensed occupational therapist with over 15 years of experience working with children and adults with disabilities across a variety of settings. Amber's mission is to empower littles and their leaders, mamas, dadas, papas, and caregivers alike, to thrive in their day-to-day activities while building strong foundations of development to grow from. So here we are with Amber. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
Amber, I know that you have this beautiful business, and I want to know a little more about your own background, your childhood, your story. What brought you into the space of occupational therapy and nature?
Of course. So, Cynthia, I grew up way out in the country, like 8 miles away from the itty bitty town that I went to school in. So I spent a lot of time outside as a child, a lot of time running around with sticks and climbing trees, imagining play of all sorts, and loved it, thrived out there. In junior high school, I actually took a route into more formal outside stuff. I was doing a lot of sports and I ended up with a back injury, and that led me to receive therapy, physical therapy, a back brace, mm-hmm. and a whole gamut of life changes. It really started then. I had loved playing sports outside. I was in tennis and I ran track and played basketball inside during the winter. So I was go, but my body wasn't. And after receiving physical therapy around that time in school, we were given those questionnaires that, you know, help guide you into the career choice will fit your personality or whatnot. And I remember fitting into the helper category, right? Like a helping profession of some sort. And I was like, yep, of course, that makes sense. I agree. And I was like, physical therapy sounds really interesting. And this super much helped me get back to at least a baseline of doing and moving in my body the way it used to move and act the way I got hurt before, the way I got hurt. As I researched that, I came across the beautiful, unique healthcare profession of occupational therapy and fell in love immediately. The occupational therapy profession on itself was founded on like sewing and like projects and crafts and like working with your hands. Mm-hmm. And it has evolved over time to be really honed in on each person specifically and what is most important to them in their day-to-day activities, helping them find independence and helping them thrive and go through life in the way that they want to without barriers. So that might be looking at helping that person strengthen or become more coordinated. It might be changing the task or changing the environment so that the environment is more friendly and universally designed, or that the task isn't so complicated. You know, there are often multiple ways to do one thing. So my brain gets to think about all of those things together, whether that's for an individual or a group, but I'll get to the group stuff later. But yeah.
So it sounds like just that childhood of being in the vast open spaces, out in nature, really made you love that aspect of being alive. And then you eventually made your way to occupational therapy just through all the different things that life threw at you, moving through physical therapy, seeing that as an option. But because occupational therapy was unique in that you can look at it from different angles and it's not just always about physical movement, there's more involved. It just really piqued your interest. So just for people who don't exactly know what occupational therapy is, can you give a brief description or overview of what that looks like, maybe in that clinical setting, or at least how you do it?
Of course. I'm kind of like a baby doula. Mm-hmm. Like I know all things baby development, right? Like you have your labor delivery doula that knows all things labor delivery. You've got your postpartum doula that knows like all things like healing and postpartum. I'm the baby doula. Like I know the baby development and those roles and routine shifts for the mama too, and the family dynamic as well. In really basic terms, occupational therapists can work with anyone from birth or prenatally even to death or right to that end of life. In the clinic space in pediatric occupational therapy, where I went straight after receiving my master's in OT from the University of Wisconsin La Crosse. Shout out. I was in a clinic, a sensory intense clinic, where I worked with kiddos with and without disabilities, but they were struggling with their day-to-day tasks. They were having challenges moving from, you know, one activity to another, or transitioning, we would call that, having full meltdowns. You know, really, these kids were having true impacts in their day-to-day functioning. The family functioning wasn't going as smoothly because of their various needs. And my job was to help figure out why, what was the communication? What was the end, you know, solution to that kiddo's issue there? Why did they not transition well? Well, We look at their body and how they were experiencing sensory input for themselves and from the environment. And we look at the task, how it was presented, how quickly, all the things, right? We break it down. We work multiple times a week in a clinic space where there's swings and mats to crash on, step stools to set up obstacle courses. You can think of like collapsible tunnels and swings from the gym spaces and stuff. So much fun. Oh my gosh. I definitely love working in that space. But it was inside, lots of plastic, lots of artificial sensory input for those kiddos. And I was seeing kiddos well into their childhood, where likely they'd been told, wait and see, wait and see, wait and see. Next year, school might be better, or who knows? I don't know what they were told, right? Lots of things. As a mom, I'm now being told my own things from pediatricians and all the healthcare people to sort through, right? It's a lot. Yeah. So no blame, no shade to anyone. It is a lot. But as my job as the OT there was to help sort that out and look at that family and that individual kiddo and then come up with a treatment plan after evaluating them thoroughly to figure out what some of those pieces of that puzzle were. And as I would get to know them over time, more pieces would fall into place and things would hopefully progress. So does that help explain that a little bit? It's so hard to put into a short sentence what OTs do. And if any OT listens to this, they will definitely giggle about that because it's
They'll
true.
Be like, yep, that and then some. Because
yeah.
Yeah, well, I think what I'm really gathering is that it's such an individualized experience. So you're out there as this like human experience detective, and you're trying to figure out like, why is this happening? How can we make little shifts in the environment and in their physical processing so that this isn't a problem anymore? And, you know, it's not just about the child that you recognize, it's also about the family and about that environment, right, that you're creating for them. And so, you know, I know Mama Earth does occupational therapy with a very specific lens and utilizing nature. And so I was just in love with the examples you were giving of what occupational therapy in nature looks like. Mind sharing, you know, instead of like the tubes and like the stools inside of a room, like what does occupational therapy in nature look like?
Yeah. So instead of being in a big gym space with mats all over and an obstacle course set up by, you know, me, the OT, the adult, the leader of the class or whatever, and that's coming from like a child's perspective, we meet in nature in a really neutral environment because I'm not controlling nature. The difference between walking into an OT session in a gym space and walking into an OT session out in the forest or in a nature play area with me is vast. Out in nature, we have natural affordances that are there. While I can predict the environment and that, you know, we'll be for the most part within these barriers, nature continues to pull us outwards. It helps us orient to our outer world. It helps us draw our attention out. If we think about standing in even just our backyard, we'll hear birds chirping. We'll hear the rustling of leaves, especially as the seasons change. You notice those noises more and more. You might hear a plane or a vehicle far off, you know, which makes you think even further. Oh, was that north, west, south? You know, we're programmed to do that. Visually, the natural environment provides high contrast. We can search and locate things throughout the leaves or the contrast of the leaves, the trees in the sky. I like to bring flowers into the sessions too, because they offer such a beautiful natural thing to like explore, right? So to find them, there's so much that goes into that. Instead of sitting at a table, we're working on core strength by crawling around, and fine motor work by picking flowers and beautiful stems and twigs and making a bouquet out of that. Logs and rocks are wobbly, right? So that challenges the core in a different way than walking across a pillow or a therapy mat does. Nature also has its way of calming us. This is becoming more and more evident. I feel like there's like a wave of us that are realizing it and starting to yell it from the rooftops, right? But this has been known for a long time, but the research is starting to be there too to support the why behind go outside. It brings us to a calmer nervous system state. Kids that spend more time in nature are correlated and may have better mental health benefits in their futures. The research is starting to show this. There's more always to be done, but it's just cool. It's so neat. Yeah, OT outside looks different. It's not just bringing OT outside. It's doing it different. There's a different relationship there. There's a different tempo and pace to it, if that makes sense. And especially with everything, I continue to keep learning and unlearning. I truly do think it's really about that one person and what that human, that little person and their family and their loved ones want and need for their most important occupations.
And, you know, it's so interesting too, because I'd imagine as a child walking into a clinic, right? Walking into this like space where, yeah, there's like a teacher, a leader, and like they've already set up the course for you. And it just feels very different than like, hey, let's go to this forest together. Like, let's meet at this nature park. And it just feels like less intimidating. Like, have you noticed that maybe kids open up differently out in nature to you?
Definitely, definitely. And the beauty of it is being, there's less of a time constraint, right? We still have our select time that we're together, but there isn't such a, whether perceived or real, time crunch to it, right? Like a go, go, get these, all these things done. There's more following that kiddo's lead and letting their intrinsic motivation lead what's going to drive them with little nudges to try a little bit trickier of a thing or a little bit of a challenging sensory experience that I know might be pushing their edge of their boundary, but I'm there to help them through it. I know, you know, that they are safe in that. And then I can support them through that where they're willing to, they're like interested in it in some deeper, more connected in way. It's wild.
Yeah. And I love that you get to take the lead from them, because I know what drew you into occupational therapy was the fact that there's variety and that, you know, you take things at different lenses and perspectives. So, I mean, what a fun adventure for you too, to be like, oh, where's this patient going to take me? And to be able to integrate what you've learned as an occupational therapist and infuse it into their interests that are already there organically.
Yeah. And it's definitely a skilled occupational therapy. You know, I just have to note that, because sometimes it looks, what are they doing? They're just following that kid around, or that's really, they're playing. They're literally just playing, you know, so they're from an onlooker. Yep. We are literally just playing, or literally just doing the dishes. You know, if I was working with an adult, or, you know, it could just be from afar, it can look very natural. And that's the way it should be if it's being done well and at that just right supportive level for that person. But it takes a skill to do that. It takes watching, it takes noticing, planning ahead, you know, oh, that might wobble in there, might lose balance. Will I be there to, what level of support will I be there with? And that sort of thing, anticipating different things and adjusting as we go, staying flexible, continuously unlearning, right? As an adult, we have to keep learning and unlearning.
Exactly. The unlearning never ends, you know, and it's so fun that you get to work with kids, because I feel like there's less unlearning to do there. And so then they kind of take things with more of that open mind and willingness. Beautiful.
Go ahead. Can I add something about the OT sessions? You know, something that's similar is we do still work on transitions and we still move in and out of our session or from one area to another, from stacking these wood blocks and these wood sticks to sorting the leaves in different colors or something like that for various reasons or goals. So transition work, donning and doffing clothing, you know, getting shoes, the right shoe gear on and off, clothing, when especially during season changes, we are wearing layers or needing, you know, a hat or gloves, or I'm chilly at the start, but once my body starts moving, I start to feel warmer. So I need to unzip and take a layer off. So some of those skills that would also be worked on, you know, in that clinic space, I'm able to still achieve in the outdoor space, which is pretty cool.
And this curiosity just popped in my head, because I know we're in Minnesota where we experience like extremes of all seasons. So, like, even in like the deepest of winters or like hottest of summers, like, do you still do things outside, or then do you also have like an indoor space, or what does that look like in your business?
That's a great question because that is such reality. We sure do have the extremes. For the most part, we're outside. And I pause while I say that because Mama Earth is growing and ever changing. But for the most part, except for those extremes, yes, I would love to continue meeting everybody outside through it all because it adds that continuous changing element, right, of the weather. The weather is a whole added piece to work through therapeutically. That's life is weather. We can't take weather out of life. So, if we avoid getting caught in the rain our whole life, will we always be inside? I don't know. That would be such a bummer because it's actually pretty fun to splash in puddles and dance in the rain.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And I feel like that's so aligned with like the Minnesota value system. 'Cause I mean, I lived in California for 6 years, and when I moved to Minnesota, I was like, what? Like, everyone's outside when it's like 0 degrees out or like 20 degrees out. And like, I, only went to the beach a few times while I was in LA because I just took it for granted. But here it's like every season people have found ways to still be connected to nature. And that's something that really stood out to me about like the Minnesota lifestyle. So it's cool that you get to teach that at a young age.
Well, and I always hope for a slow transition both ways. Well, I always prefer it to warm up faster, but let fall be fall. It's like ease into the cool. 40 feels a lot different in the fall than it does in the spring.
Yeah.
But that said, obviously there's extremes. I would draw the line at some of those like just not safe situations, but then that could be a conversation we have one-on-one if a family isn't quite sure, like that's a little cold for me. Can we reschedule? That's a possibility. And there's always room to bring nature in somehow or another as well, if an indoor space is somewhere where I move to. If winter ends up being like long and drudgerous, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. But I love that you give that opportunity too, right? That life is not going to be sunny all the time, right? And so, how can we still get the work done in all different environments? And so, instead of putting the leaves in color order, maybe it's making snowballs and
Oh
making
my
different
gosh, yes.
sizes. I'm
Yes, there
like,
are
oh, I'm catching
so.
on.
I'm dancing here. I'm so excited. Yes, that's exactly it. There are so many ways throughout every single season. Minnesota, cold, fall, spring mud, flowers, planting seeds. There are seriously so many ways to utilize nature every single season. And it's like, oh, it just gets me so excited because it's so fun and it's so good for us. It's so grounding when we can slow down and watch that through our littles. It's joyful. Fills my bucket up.
Yes. And I know, gosh, this is such a cool business concept. And I know it took a lot for you to take that leap of faith and say, you know what, this is what I'm doing. Because you were at a clinical space at first. And I know there was just like, there's a journey there. Do you mind sharing a little bit about how you decided to move from the clinical space into this nature-based occupational therapy and Mama Earth?
Yeah, I would love to. So I was bumping up against about 5 years in the clinic space and just really feeling the burnout. Productivity levels constantly felt like they were being pushed. If there was cancellations, rather than getting time to, dive deeper on something I told a parent I would dive deeper on for them, I was subbing for a family that I really didn't know or hadn't met before and doing my best I could. It was just this like wheel of go do more while doing less, and it didn't feel good. During that time, I also was struggling to conceive and stay pregnant. We had three miscarriages before my little rainbow baby River was born, and that brings us to the shift. So I was pregnant in spring of 2020. And I announced to my colleagues the same day we were told to go home, and we didn't know what was going to happen. We collectively, like everyone, right? No one within that 2 to 3 day frame of time, life shifted. So I finished my pregnancy doing OT work via telehealth. So I was video chatting with families in their living room from my living room, and I was coaching them through how to get the sensory input and motor work done that would work us towards our long-term and short-term goals that we had. It was such a challenge, but I learned a ton of things from it. One being that parents really do need to be part of it. They're the experts on their kids, and they've got to be part of it to really make differences. And that's just a wonderful takeaway for me for that. When I had River in September of 2020, I came to the realization that I wasn't going to return to the office and made that decision and became a full-time stay-at-home mama, which was something I didn't ever think I was going to do, honestly. In our relationship, it was going to be flopped if ever the case, but everything shifted at that time frame. It feels a tiny bit cliche, but it's like so true. He really turned our world upside down in like the best way. Plus, it was the middle of the pandemic, so at home we were. I had really bad postpartum depression and anxiety that spiked in those early postpartum days. And so that was another challenge that eventually brought me to Mama Earth. During that time of feeling out of control of my thoughts and not like myself, not liking how I didn't feel like myself, getting outside with one of my friends who was able to ground me and help me remember the things I knew about development to help take me back to reality, right? In those no's. But that time out in nature plus that, I swear, helped me get through some of those darkest pieces, plus therapy and some medications, right? Like, it was all of it for me.
Integrative approach, yes.
All of it, right? Anyways, but truly, that helped me get to a point where I could look back and be like, okay, that was hard. Holy smokes. Also, I have tools that I can share. And I have goosebumps feeling this because I do. I have tools I can share with these mamas and these parents. And with the education and the right angle of an eye to like understand their baby's development and their children from the way that I can understand and see that development and that processing and the why behind their questions and their wondering, it can change parenthood to just be like so almost like rose-colored, but it's not that. It's just like raw and real, right? Like it's rose-colored, but it's beautiful because it's naturally happening with the right tools. Yeah, I get rambly there because I get so excited about it.
Yeah, and you're just beaming right now because and how beautiful that, you know, it was through your own healing journey in nature, in community, that you recognized your own power and not only the tools that you have, but the education that you have, the experience that you have, the skills that you have, that it would be a shame to keep that from the world. And so here you are with your own practice now, doing exactly what you know the world needs. And, you know, you mentioned that getting the parents involved is super important. And I know you really explained co-regulation to me. I feel like I've seen that word thrown around on Instagram. I like kind of got it, but didn't really understand. And it was one of those things where I'm like, everyone must understand it. So I just like didn't feel like asking, but I asked you because I feel comfortable with you. Oh, so I was like, what do you mean by co-regulation? Do you mind sharing what that is?
Yes, yes. So co-regulation is when we're with another human and we're reading them and shifting how we're feeling because of how they're feeling, and they're shifting how they feel because of how we respond to that, right? Like it's that mirroring and that support. And typically it's with a close loved one, a trusted one that you can co-regulate with. So adults, we're able to self-regulate. We can understand that we're feeling a little anxious and take that deep breath. have our sip of tea, take our shower, do our walk. You know, we all have our things. Maybe we need to weightlift or do some yoga to get weight bearing. While our bodies are driven to do weightlifting or yoga, whether that's at the start of our day or at the end of the day, that's because our sensory system has that need to get it filled with proprioceptive input, which is very grounding and calming. But why? The why, right? Why do we crave that at the end of a busy day? Or why do we know that we need to do that activity in the beginning of the day? Otherwise we come home a mess. Well, because we all have differences in how we process sensory information. And one of my ways of empowering parents and caregivers and adults in the situation of the parenting journey is helping them understand their own triggers and their own sensory processing differences and needs. So for example, I was talking to a mama about visual, I was talking about my own sensory needs, and those being, I am very auditorily sensitive and tactilely sensitive. And the auditory thing for me is, I know if I have had a lot of noise throughout the day, I don't want the music on while we cook dinner. It will start making me kind of crabby. And so this mama I was talking to was like, we kind of going through different senses and how we feel about, you know, are we a hype? Do we over respond or under respond to different senses? And we came across visual input and how sometimes we can be easily overstimulated visually. And that can set us into this fight or flight sense of like just on edge, icky feeling. And she just had this light bulb like go off where she, and I think Cynthia, you had the same kind of light bulb of when we talked about this previously. Yes. Too. She was just like, oh, it makes sense why I hate clutter on the counters. And I was like, yes, your system doesn't like it. It's not just because like clutter bothers you, because it doesn't bother everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. That was like, I felt so seen when you said that. It's like, I'm just very sensitive visually. And when I get too much visual input all at once, then yeah, I go into that fight or flight mode. I start to get agitated. I'm easily upset, or I might be snappy with my partner because usually, you know, he makes some of the mess.
Yeah, right. And now that you know that, you can take a moment, right? You can like some awareness, like, oh, Cynthia, yep, you are overwhelmed by that. Like, what would help? Should we move our work situation to another area and just deal with that later? Or does that need to get cleared right now? Or maybe I need to ask for help. Or, you know, there's so many solutions, but it comes from knowing ourselves and then listening to ourselves and being honest. I know I show up better when I am honest with my sensory needs, right? When I don't play music all day, even though it's fun and that's what stay-at-home moms do, right? Is just play kids' music all day. Well, we don't here because that would drive me up the wall. So we don't. My sensory system needs a quieter house during the day. So we do that. I also crave that proprioceptive input. So one way to counteract the fight or flight is to do things that we crave. And I enjoy getting that through yoga or, hey, lifting up my little and walking around and stuff. But yeah, it's really empowering when you can start knowing and noticing what you and your body needs, and then having the tools, whether that's self-driven or helped out by an OT, bringing that to the forefront and then using those tools in your day-to-day life.
Yeah. Yeah. The word empowering really comes to mind, because you're not only helping your clients understand their own needs and kind of looking inward to their own honest truth about what their needs are, but then how to fill that need and providing those tools as well. Yeah. So that's how you self-regulate. And then now the co-regulation, where's the magic that happens there?
So when we as adults can self-regulate, we can maintain that calm. Now, what is co-regulating, especially with our littles? It's supporting their feelings and their energies in their moment, in that moment with them. So we co-regulate by noticing, by looking, by observing our little one's distress, whether that's I stub my toe and I'm actually in physical harm. My feelings were hurt and I'm in emotional distress, or I'm feeling sad, you know, whatever it is, we notice and we swoop in as the adult and we give the support, whether that's a snuggly hug and some deep pressure to calm the system, whether that's, you know, verbal reassurance and I love you, are you okay? That must have really hurt, you know, validating that feeling, but calming yourself in that to help that little one calm is the cycle, right? If my son falls and scrapes his knee, if I start screaming and crying and getting really upset because my son just scraped his knee and how could I, you know, I could spiral, right? Like, and I'm not calm in that, he's going to look at me and not be calm. He's going to probably cry harder. He's going to cling to me. You know, he's going to start seeking for more support of regulation and that co-regulation. So instead, I pause, I wait, I observe, I calm myself before approaching, right? Make sure that I'm at least semi-slowered heartbeat after I jumped at him falling or whatever. And I check in, I assess, you know, is he bleeding? Is he not? And then move from there. I give a big hug. I wrap him up. I check in. I note, let him tell me where he's hurt. See how it's that back and forth, that almost like a relationship, a dance to it in a way. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Cause you're checking to see how he is. He's checking to see how you are. And that influences then your own experience. But as the adult, you have the unique opportunity to set the standard.
Right. And littles need us. They need, it's a need. It's not like a want. It's not a manipulation. It's a need. They need us to co-regulate up to, you know, into their childhood and in teen years even. And we need that as adults. So it's never something I think should be like, oh, you can self-regulate now. If somebody is asking for co-regulation in whatever way it's being asked for, I think that should be respected and given. The beauty of circling back to the OT piece of it, the beauty of it is that my lens can piece that apart and help a parent understand what will support that child's co-regulation. So maybe that kiddo doesn't want to be touched because they're very sensitive tactily. And the parent thinks, well, I feel better when I get a hug, I'm going to hug my kid, and the kid just loses it more. So knowing that piece of the puzzle, right? Or that piece of that unique neurodiverse person, I can bring awareness to that and we can find another solution sitting next to them, you know, in a safe distance where they know they're not going to be touched, but you're there with them and you're doing super wonderful deep breaths to model how to calm your nervous system, right? Without that piece that will trigger them further.
Yeah, I love it. And I love that through your experience, you've really emphasized the co-regulation as a part of your offerings, right? That it's not just about the child. It's also the parents have to learn how to regulate so that they can be that anchor of calm for their own child. Mm-hmm. And so you offer these tools, these services. And so now that people understand a little more what you do and how you do it, what are the ways that people can work with you?
Yeah, there's a variety of ways, starting with the direct OT services. That includes an evaluation and a plan of treatment with goals, long-term goals and short-term goals directly for that person. I also provide one-on-one coaching, which is a step down and different from that direct OT intervention. It's more how do I explain it? An opportunity for guidance and tips and tricks than it is a direct treatment plan of like, these are our areas of concern and problem areas. These are our steps of action for these goals that we want to achieve. One-on-one coaching is more along the lines of, I have these toys, or we got these things and have all this baby equipment, because every single email I got said to buy these 20 things if I want to have a developing baby. So I did. What do I do? And I can say, well, here, we need to, you know, clear the space and do these things, head outside more often. And I laugh a little, but I'm honestly serious about that. Less is more in the developmental journey. So I can help guide you through that. I can help you learn how to set up the toys in your environment so that baby can learn how to pull up on the couch so that they can learn how to later walk if they're having trouble with that specific thing, XYZ. I also provide enrichment programs, and these are all inclusive. They are for kiddos with disabilities or extra needs, but also everybody, anyone, you know, that loves nature and loves play can come along. So sometimes early in life, we don't have our red flags all there or any diagnoses. So we just show up as little babies. And those enrichment programs are more focused on mamas and dadas and that parent caregiver education piece of like, understand yourself, understand how humans work and how we are calm and how nature impacts us. Understanding ourselves in those situations and those enrichment programs, helping the parents understand themselves, I should say, with the babies there hand in hand, non-separating dyads groups. We get to learn fun ways to play those nature games that support co-regulation and self-regulation, support all the developmental milestones and mini milestones along the way. Like have games and activities set up during those specific groups that target those different areas of development for the babies or the children in each age range for those groups. And then I also have, lastly, a little bit longer offering of an 8-week program that's really intended for those mamas and babies in the fourth trimester as a tummy time support circle. So that's focused on, like I said, the mamas and babies, but learning tummy time stuff, sorting through the junk and garbage we're getting thrown at us from the consumerism world we're in, having community and support out in nature and learning and growing together and so many more things. We have a topic we go through weekly for that program, but that's my like heart and soul. All of those offerings, I truly have been having so much fun with it. It's just a blast. So it's great.
That's wonderful. And I love that fourth trimester group that you offer, because I'm sure it's something that you really would have benefited from too during your fourth trimester. So now knowing that you can now hold the space for healing, for the connection, for the learning that you so craved at the time. And I think that's just so beautiful that you can now offer that. So.
Oh, thank you. I truly hope so. I put a lot of time and thought into that program specifically that was the start of Mama Earth, actually, was that. And it's grown to other enrichment programs and truly taking the OT piece with the direct OT services outside. But it's special, personal, and like heart-wrenching, right? Like it's like the good stuff. It truly drives me. And that's what drove me out of the clinical space, is to do something that brings me joy and passion and excitement and fills my bucket up. And this is doing it, helping other mamas and caregivers feel confident outside. I don't know what more I could ask for.
And how empowering to be able
reaching
to
more.
Yeah. You know, right?
That's what I could ask for, is that more families could just know this stuff and thrive.
That they can know that they just need to step out in their backyard or go for a walk to be able to access all these tools for self-regulation, co-regulation. And yeah, I was going to say, it's just so empowering to know that you don't have to go into a clinic necessarily. Like if you can learn how to do this in nature, then you've got these tools for life, right?
And what beauty to bring it into your children's lives this early on, right? To open up that vulnerability of wanting to learn and being open to learning. So signing up for a class, you know, and then heading out there with your kiddos in tow. I know it's not easy to get out the door. I'm a mom, I get it, but truly impactful stuff that you'll walk away with. And it is possible to do that outside, like you said, out your back door. Round yourself, put your shoes on, do some rainbow orienting, look around and try to find one thing of each color even.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a fun game. And I call it rainbow orienting. It actually can calm your nervous system because it pulls your attention outward, right? And makes you look around, activating some reflexes and nervous, like your vagus nerve gets activated. And I'm not going to go into that deep detail.
You're like, I'm going to stop myself. I love it. All However, the moments you're like ready to nerd out.
That will help calm your system because if we think about it, if we look around our environment, we playing this rainbow orienting game, our nervous system is benefiting because we are looking around for safety, right? Yeah. Or signs of not being safe. So primitively, we're looking for the lions, the tigers, right? Out in our field. But while we're not out in fields with lions and tigers anymore, our body still likes to react like mm-hmm. we are sometimes, right? And so that's a fun game to try in your backyard or out on your walk next time you step out front, go, oh yeah, rainbow. Go through the rainbow, find one little thing each or a leaf each color or flower each color, etc. And then check in, see how you feel after.
Yeah, beautiful. I will definitely do that on my next walk. Well, it's, you know, we've covered a lot of different aspects of what you do, yeah. You know, your journey, which is just so beautiful. I'm wondering, what do you hope that listeners can walk away from this conversation with? Like, what nugget of information, knowing, a practice, you know, what do you hope people can take away?
I just really want listeners to feel confident in stepping out, and confident just in not in just the act, but the knowing of like what benefit it will have for them themselves and their mental health and then their children and how that ripple will just keep going. Like I said, it's as simple as getting out to the backyard and slowing down, noticing, you know, do I hear a bird or a cricket or this or that? Start going through your different senses. What's something I notice, can see, hear, smell, feel, etc. Touch, how does my belly feel inside? So gaining that confidence, taking that outside and knowing that it's backed by research. There continues to be research articles that just keep coming out that say, go outside, go play, free play, uninhibited, wander around and be joyful. And it sounds so funny and so like, all right, that's all it is, right? And it is, it's, we can achieve it, right? We can bring joy into our lives by heading out to nature because it will support our nervous system to be in that calm state of readiness to learn and to feel grounded and good.
So important. Thank you so much, Amber, for your time, for your energy, for all that you do. It is such a gift what you offer people. And I'm just grateful that we can have you on the podcast and share your message and your wisdom with whoever's out there listening. Thank you.
Thank you so much.